This week, May 26, 2015, on The Digital Story. Dropbox's carousel is coming of age. Wrist strap versus neck strap. Adobe calling it quits on Photoshop Touch. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Thrilled to have you here with me. Have some great stuff for you today. We're going to talk a bit about Dropbox for photographers. And Dropbox is, of course, a cloud storing and sharing service. It's been around for a long time. It's really terrific. But it has some very interesting tools for photographers, and those tools have been getting better. So I thought it would be good to do a little update, a little state of the art on Dropbox, and we're going to cover that in the first feature story today. We also have excellent weekly update for you, a little news item or two for you to make sure that you know what's going on in your world of photography. Have a little fun with wrist straps and neck straps and that dilemma that mirrorless cameras has created for us. And then, of course, some virtual camera club news, some bits and bobs, a smorgasbord of photographer-friendly delights. Okay, so let's get started with the weekly update. Weekly update. Fight DSL arm with a new Olympus Micro Four Thirds body. So I'm laughing because this whole thing is funny, really. It's odd, it's strange, it's funny, and it's somewhat effective. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but Olympus has a new marketing campaign where they're talking about fighting DSL, then they put a hyphen, arm, A-R-M. And, you know, this guy's walking around with his arm that's like hanging down to the ground because his DSLR has you know, stretched it out, has weighed on it, has taxed his arm. And they have all these different scenarios and all these weird things. And they've created videos that are actually oddly entertaining in their own way. Now, that's good enough almost for a weekly update item. But the real reason why I'm mentioning it today is because if you go over to the DSL arm site, which I have a link to in the show notes, you can enter to win an OMD EM5 Mark II. Yes, and now that is something, you know, worth clicking on. And really all you have to do is, you know, you go over to the page that I have the link to. You say you want to enter the sweepstakes. You just put your name and email address. And you can say if you want more information from them or not. It's up to you. And then you check a few boxes that are funny in themselves about DSL arm symptoms that you might have. You can just check them all, really, because, you know, it's all in good fun. But the fact of the matter is that someone's going to win a new camera on this deal. And for that reason alone, not to mention the entertainment factor, I think it's worth hopping over there. So you can click on the link in the show notes. It'll take you over to the Olympus page, DSL arm symptoms page. It's kind of fun. It's a good way to spend a coffee break or something. In other news, Adobe calling it quits on Photoshop Touch. Petapixel reports, after 3-year run, Adobe is retiring Photoshop Touch, its current horse in the mobile photo editing race. The company announced today that the iOS and Android app will be removed from app stores on May 28th. The software will still be usable on your device if you've downloaded it already, of course, but there will be no further updates. Now, this doesn't mean that was a Petapixel there, and I have the link in the show notes. This doesn't mean that Adobe's exiting the mobile image editing space. I think what they felt was that Photoshop Touch wasn't the right answer, and that maybe they tried to put too many features into one app, and it just really wasn't what they decided they wanted. So what they're doing is they're pulling Touch off. They're working on some new stuff, and I think we'll see something by the end of the year that not so much replaces touch, but is going more the direction they want to go. And one of those directions is more robust image editing on a tablet device or even on a smartphone. And then maybe separating various features with different apps. So if you don't need, for instance, let's say linear drawing or something like that, then why put it in one app? Just have a separate app that covers that, like Sketch. So anyway, it's basically a repositioning for them. It's not an exit from the space. But that being said, Photoshop Touch is coming off the shelf. If you have it, you can keep it. But as it says in the Petapixel story, there won't be any further updates to it. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, Dropbox's carousel is coming of age. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, I haven't talked about Dropbox much these days, but it's worth checking in. And carousel is the primary reason, alongside the fact that they now have a plan that I think is relatively good for photographers in terms of pricing, which is $99 a year for 1 terabyte of space. And unlike the 1 terabyte of space that you get with Flickr, for example, that's free, the Dropbox 1 terabyte, I think, is far more useful because it's just not tied specifically to kind of Flickr's narrow view of, you know, how that space should be used. Dropbox, you can use that space for any kind of file, including your photos and videos, and basically any way that you want. And it works across all platforms. And when I say all platforms, I mean Mac, Windows, and Linux, and iOS and Android. It's a very useful 1 terabyte. Dropbox is really nice on the computer. I love using it on the Mac. And the problem had been, of course, for photographers that, yes, you have this file system that you can have on your Mac, your Windows machine, your Android device, your iOS device, and all your stuff is there. But then how do you view it, and how do you use it, and how do you share it? And that's where Carousel comes in. Now, before I dig into Carousel itself, that really what Dropbox is for backup and for sharing. It's really good to have your iOS device, if you're shooting with iOS, to have that automatically upload to your Dropbox. They create a special folder, they set up an automatic upload, and all of that content just goes in there. So it's like iCloud in the sense that when you take a picture or you work on a picture or whatever on your device, then it goes automatically into your Dropbox and it's backed up. And so you could see that if you're using it for automatic backup for your smart devices, and then you're using it as a physical backup, as a manual backup for, you know, what you do with your cameras, then you could have everything integrated into one place and then view it regardless on what kind of device you're using at the moment, whether your Mac or Windows machine or smart device, whatever. What Carousel does is it gives us a pleasant interface for viewing the photos. Because instead of just looking at a file system, we now have something that scrolls quickly. It loads the images faster than when you're looking at them in Dropbox, in the Dropbox app, or on a web page that's logged into Dropbox. It loads them faster, it scrolls faster, it has a really nice timeline, it allows you to share the images easily. And for example, if you took a picture with your iPhone and you're viewing it on Carousel on an iPad and you want to move it to the iPad, then you can save it to the camera roll there. You know, things like that. You can also obviously save it to your socials. It allows for that. And it works just really well. You can tap on it and tap on a thumbnail and you get a bigger version of the picture. You know, all the goodies that you would very much expect. You can do other photographer-friendly things in Carousel. You can create albums, which, again, albums are so nice. So know, they're like albums in iPhoto or Aperture, or they're like collections in Lightroom, where you have everything organized at the root system. But let's say that you want to pull together your own collection of images that have nothing to do with a date or anything like that. They're by topic or whatever. So you can create an album, put them in there, and it doesn't mess up how they're filed, you know, in original Dropbox. So you can create albums and view albums. You can also hide photos and videos from the timeline. Now, the way Carousel works, like you expect, you have this timeline where it has all the images. It has pulled from your Dropbox. So it doesn't make any difference what folder the images are in Dropbox. You could have them all in camera uploads, or you could have 30 different folders with images in Dropbox. All those images will be pulled into Carousel and put in chronological order based on their XF data. So you have everything in there, but you may not want everything in your timeline on Carousel. As you're scrolling through it, as you're showing it to other people, you may have some stuff that you go, I don't want on the timeline. You can exclude that stuff. They give you the ability to hide an entire folder of images, or you can hide individual images. They don't go away. They're still safe and sound in Dropbox. And in fact, they're not even gone from Carousel. Where they have gone is that they're off the timeline, and you have to go to a special menu area to view your hidden work, which obviously most people aren't going to do. That would be very intrusive of them if you hand them your iPhone and they start digging around, looking for your hidden stuff. Those are people you don't hand your iPhones to. While they're at it, why not just nab a few passwords, right? Okay, so you can hide stuff. And then they had this feature that they borrowed from another service that I loved and that I won't talk about because they went away. But they have a flashback, which means that you can look at images that happened on this day or around this day in your past history. So if you're listening to this on May 26, for example, you go to flashback, you can see May 26, if you have a photo from 2014, maybe from 2012, you know, and you can kind of relive that moment, you know, of a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, depending on how deep your photos go in Dropbox. I always love that feature, and they have that in Carousel. Other goodies include backup options, so you can back up on Wi-Fi only or Wi-Fi and cellular for your mobile devices. They have notifications, and you can control how the notifications work, so you have control over that. As I mentioned earlier, you can exclude folders from Dropbox, and they have this cool thing called Free Up iPhone Space, where they will examine how much space is being used on your iPhone by your images, and that if you moved them into the Dropbox, how much space that would open up on your iPhone. And then they will do that automatically if you wish them to. So if you're going, man, I could really use an extra gigabyte of space on my iPhone, and it analyzes it for you and says, hey, we've got a gig and a half here that we can free up for you, then you can move them over and reclaim that space on the device itself. So it's just a pretty cool app. It's all free. Now, if you want to try Dropbox and you don't want to spend the money, you know, the $99 a year to sign up for it, they give you 2 gigabytes to start with. So you just go over to the Dropbox site, sign up, get 2 gigabytes free. All the applications are free. So you really can play with it and test it and do all that good stuff. Now, the other thing I didn't mention, because it's not really part of Carousel, but it's more part of Dropbox, is the sharing feature where you can share folders of images, for example, with clients, and you can password protect them, and you can even set expiration dates for those folders. Now, that's in the paid service, but in the free service, you have basically everything else, and really give you a good chance to look at everything they have to offer. I think the main point today is that Carousel has improved a lot over the last year. And I think it is the thing that makes Dropbox more useful for photographers. And in fact, if you're looking for a robust, dependable, secure cloud service to help you manage your photography, both saving the images somewhere else and sharing them with others, then I think Dropbox is worth a look, and certainly Carousel makes it a lot more fun. Story number two, wrist strap versus neck strap. Now, this is sort of a fun bit here I'm going to do. And this dilemma did not exist when I was shooting with DSLRs only. Because of the bulk of a DSLR and the weight and everything, I almost always used a neck strap. Every now and then, I might use a sling strap, but for the most part, a neck strap. And wrist straps weren't really part of the equation. With the advent of mirrorless cameras and them being so light and portable and easy to carry around, having a big old long neck strap on this little mirrorless camera seemed kind of weird to me because, you know, the neck strap takes up a lot of space in your camera bag or your backpack, wherever you're using it. And, you know, the whole idea is to be traveling light and compact and everything. So you got the small camera and then the neck strap's taking up almost as much room. And that just seemed weird. So then I switched over to wrist straps for my mirrorless cameras exclusively. So I'm using them for a while. And yes, it's good. It's light. It doesn't take up much space. But then there were times where I really wanted both hands free, and a neck strap would have been ideal, right? Because you can just hang the camera around your neck and both hands are free. You can do whatever you want. Pick up the camera. And so there were times I started missing neck straps, even for my mirrorless cameras. And so now you can see where this is going. I'm just like, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. You know, I'm going back and forth, making myself crazy. I finally came to the conclusion with this, a similar conclusion I came to with camera bags, which is I need both. Now, I might not need both all the time, but sometimes I need one and other times I need the other. And so I said, okay, well, when do I want a neck strap and when do I want a wrist strap? For example, when I'm street shooting, I want a neck strap. Because when I'm out and about, like for instance, I just did the workshop, the street shooting workshop in San Francisco. So when I'm out and about in Haight-Ashbury, walking around with my little OMD EM10, I like it on a neck strap. I like to have maybe a light jacket or something. And then, you know, I can kind of have the camera in the jacket. I can pull it out of the jacket. I can kind of work that way. I'm not trying to hide it. I just don't want to be super conspicuous. And it works great. My hands are free. I can walk. I can, you know, buy a soft drink and drink it and walk around. You know, it's just really nice. I just love it. And that's when a wrist strap drives me crazy when I'm street shooting because, okay, so the thing's tied to my wrist, which means the camera is always out, which I may or may not want it always out. And then I only have one hand. So, you know, then I have to do everything with one hand. So, okay. So street shooting is when I want a neck strap. Now, when I'm working strictly out of a camera bag, let's say my backpack, and I'm working in the studio, or I'm working at an event, let's say when I go to the Warriors game or something, I love wrist straps because they don't take up a lot of room, and I can just slide it over my wrist, shoot the shots, and then slide the camera back in the bag. So when I'm working out of a bag, I think wrist straps are so much nicer. I can just work faster with them and all that. So what I've come to, and at this point, you're probably thinking, like, for instance, if your spouse is listening to this part of the podcast and he or she isn't a photographer, they're probably going, who is this guy? I mean, doesn't he have anything else to think about? No, I don't. This is what I do. Where I came out is that I have a neck strap on one camera and I have wrist straps on everything else. And it has really come to that because the other part about this is that these things are a hassle to change. They're horrible. I mean, one of the things that I used to hate when I was reviewing cameras a lot for Macworld is, you know, the camera would come, you know, it comes in the box, the whole deal. And I would have to put on a strap. And I just hate, I just hate putting on these, you know, you got to thread these things, got to remember how to backwards thread them. You have to do it. a lot of times, you know, the hole that you have to push the thing through doesn't seem to be the right size. So annoying. So darn annoying. So this is not something that I want to do all the time, right? I don't want to be changing from wrist strap to neck strap all the time. Now, I'm sure I'm going to hear from someone who has a solution for this. Yes, we have the, you know, the 4-in-1 switcheroo neck wrist sling strap for you. And, you know, that'll solve your problem having to switch them. It probably won't, because I usually don't like those kind of compromise things. So, yes, you can contact me if you want, but don't get your hopes up. So anyway, so what I've decided to do is I have my street shooting camera, which is a black OMD EM10. That has a really nice neck strap on it. I love it. I leave it on there all the time. And that's just the way it is. It also has a very snug case, so that if I'm out and about and I want to protect the camera, let's say it starts raining or something, I can just slide this Olympus case on it. It's very snug. Hardly takes up any room. Boom. I'm done with that. Everything else has wrist straps. My OMD EM5 Mark II, wrist strap. Very nice one. My other OMD EM10 that I use in a Nimble photographer bag, shoulder bag when I'm working out of that, wrist strap. So those cameras are wrist strap cameras. And once I just came to the realization that I need cameras with both, and just said, okay, that's just the way this has to be. Stop fighting it. Stop resisting. And I gave in to the fact that I have to have both a neck strap and a wrist strap. My life has been so much better ever since. The thing about it is that if you don't solve this, it will annoy you on a subconscious level. And it will detract from your photography. And you may not even notice it until you solve the problem. Then after you solve the problem, you're going, oh God, why did I wait so long to solve this problem? All right. So anyway, that is my very colorful, somewhat off the beaten track overview of neck strap versus wrist strap. If you didn't find it useful, at least I hope you found it entertaining. Story number 3. So the dates are set for moving from Aputure to Photos or Lightroom. I mentioned this last week. I want to reiterate it again today, primarily because I posted the itinerary on the site. There's an article that you can look at. You know, it'll just spell out how both days are going to go. I'm actually fairly excited about this event because it gives me a chance to do a deep dive on Photos for OS 10 with you. It gives me a chance to show you what I like about Lightroom. And it gives me a chance to talk about Aputure and, you know, the options that you have if you're an Aputure user right now. Plus, we'll get into some backup. We'll get into some sharing. We'll get into some other stuff. And then the other part is that the people who have already signed up, they're great people. They're really smart. Trust me, you will learn as much from them as you will from me. And I'm jazzed about that part of it, too. So anyway, the workshop is here in Santa Rosa on Friday, August 7th and Saturday, August 8th. It's a 2-day workshop. If you want to come and explore Photos for OS 10, Lightroom, and then how it all relates to Aputure, I highly recommend this. Go to the TDS Workshops page. It's on the nav bar on the digitalstory.com. Use the send me info. I'll get you a registration form and you can come check it out. Friday, August 7th, Saturday, August 8th. It's going to be a good time. Plus, we'll do all the usual fun stuff, including eat good food and have a lot of laughs. Okay, let's take a stroll over to the screening room. Today's featured artist is Chris Orwig, and the title is Portrait Project, Fixing a Distracting Background. If ever a person was perfect to do this title, it's Chris Orwig. He is a terrific Photoshop and Lightroom teacher. He's got a whole bunch of titles on lynda.com. But the thing about Chris is that he loves portraiture. He loves taking portraits. Portraiture is his thing. So you know, over all these years of focusing on portraits, he has had to deal with distracting backgrounds. We all have, but he has dealt probably with more of them than any of us because of how much work he does. And he has some terrific tips and techniques for eliminating distracting backgrounds and then even improving existing backgrounds so that the portrait, the overall image, not just the subject, but the overall image really feels the way you want it to feel. And this is time well spent if you do portrait work. Again, the title is Portrait Project, Fixing a Distracting Background with Chris Orwig. So you can watch Chris in action by visiting the TDS screening room, which is at lynda.com, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. You can watch the intro movie for Chris's piece. And then if you want, you can sign up for your 7-day free trial, watch the entire title by Chris, and then everything else that's in the library. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies. I tell you, you may stay up later than you had planned on. Okay, so anyway, that's today's screening room selection, and you can check it out by going to lynda.com/thedigitalstory. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. Let's start out with Red River Paper. So they have reviewed the Epson SureColor P600. This is a printer that I saw back at Photo Plus in late October last year, and that I am very excited about. I don't have it yet. And Red River Paper has done a full review on it. They're focusing on really comparing it to the Epson R3000, which it is a natural replacement for. And I don't know if you've ever read a printer review by Red River Paper, but they do great ones. They're my favorite place to read about printers because they know these things so well. They know these things so well. And they go into the technical side. They go into the practical side. They show you pictures on, you know, how the features work. They do a really nice job. So I have a link to the review in the show notes. And it is, if you're thinking about a 13-inch inkjet printer, first of all, I would seriously consider the Epson P600. And second of all, I would read this review by Red River Paper. And again, it just goes to show you that these are people, they're not just selling paper. They are printing geeks. They love printing. They love everything about printing. And when you're buying paper from them, you're buying paper from people who are passionate about this photographic expression. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, some news from Sizzlepix. This is the last week for the TDS exclusive 5K ultra high definition Sizzlepix. As you know, if you've been listening to the show, that we're the only ones that have been able to get the new 5K Sizzlepix during the month of May. It hasn't been officially released yet. This has been an unofficial pre-release just for us. You place an order at Sizzlepix, you put the Digital Story or TDS in the comments field, you automatically get upgraded to the 5K ultra high definition output, no extra charge, and we're the only ones that can get them. That's going to last until the end of the month. So you can get one of these in time for June weddings, anniversaries, Father's Day, graduations, birthdays, all that kind of stuff. All you have to do is go to sizzlepix.com, sizzlepix.com, place your order, put the Digital Story in the comments field, and you will get upgraded to the new 5K ultra high definition output. It is really something to behold. Now, in June, they're going to release it to the general public. So you'll see those changes on the site. I don't know really what's going to happen after that with pricing and all of that, but I do know until that happens, if you're a TDS listener or reader of the site, you can get it at no extra charge and blow everyone's socks off. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, SIZZLPIX.com. It's like an ultra-high-definition retina display you hang on the wall. Okay, what else we got here? Thanks to everyone who has reviewed the podcast in iTunes. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And if you haven't done it yet and you have a few moments, I would so appreciate it. I read them, but most importantly, people new to the podcast read them, and it really helps them understand if this is the right show for them or not. And finally, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header in the box halfway down the second column at thedigitalstory.com. Just look for Amazon, just look for B&H, click on it. You'll go over to their site, search for what you want, and then just shop as you normally would. What you purchase will help support the site at no extra charge to you, and you can do a good turn for us, and it doesn't cost you a penny. All right, well, that is going to do it for me. Fun stuff. I'll tell you, I've got more great stuff in the works. We're getting ready to head into summer. Oh my gosh, so much going on. I got the Bodhi workshop coming up and in June. Lots to report on. Have a great week, but come back and see me next week. Until then, bye-bye now.